Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
A Dear Media original podcast.
It's not like we talk all the time, but like, you know, if you see something or hear something or something, you know, comes up, like I'm a text away or and say hi and check in. And I don't know, but I could do
great.
That.
Yeah. I could be friends with all of my exes. I have two that can't be friends with me, which, okay, fine. But
well, shit.
Your problem, not mine. Here we are, the final episode. Holy guacamole.
Shot of tequila.
Cheers.
To get us going.
Dang.
And to you all.
Yeah, seriously. I'm scared.
Me too. Ugh. Share with you all how far I've come.
Wow.
I can drink tequila and not scream at Kristen.
I have to chase it always.
You know what we should have done?
What?
We should have started our own tequila.
Oh, damn it.
What do you guys think? Should we start our own tequila? Place your comments below.
That ship has sailed. We should. We honestly, first episode, should have.
Ugh, blown it.
Damn
where
it.
Where were you on that, MTV? At least, like, pick us an opportunity that we could actually make a little money off of.
Our name. Our last name.
That's true.
Wanted to own us forever.
All right, you guys.
I can't believe this is it.
Little bonus episode. Why don't you give us a little introduction?
Oh, God,
let's
I'm
mix it up.
Scared. I don't know if I can do this. Welcome in, you guys. It is Back to the Beach with...
Steven.
And Kristen.
Steven Coletti.
And Kristen Cavallari. We're hammered. You know, one shot. Yeah. We can't even do a fucking intro.
Cut it out. Okay. Keep it in.
Keep it. Here we are. This is the final episode of Back to the Beach. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to recap both seasons for you guys. And we're just feeling... I can only speak for myself, I guess. But I'm feeling very emotional. I can't believe that this is the last one. And coming off of last week's episode, which was the final episode of season 2, which was incredibly emotional, I'm kind of feeling all the feels again.
Are you? That's
good. Yeah, I am.
It's good to see that because we talked about in that other episode, I said you had all the weird feels throughout that final episode.
Thanks.
As you're so emotional. But then to now see that you're watching that, you're able to have a very positive experience out of that and look back on those memories and those times with your friends there. And yeah, to be here now and have that all kind of metabolize in a way of like, this is a positive experience. And I feel you there. You know, it's been such an interesting journey for me of trying to process what Laguna Beach, the real Orange County was and how it affected my life and you know, how I was going to feel about it as I moved forward in life. And then eventually, you know, it felt like I wanted to go in there and really see what it was about because there were a lot of negative thoughts. But you know what? We've watched it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's nice to see those positive memories, right?
I know. I got to tell you, and I think I've said it a couple times, but this has been one of the highlights of my career. I mean, truly, I have enjoyed this experience so much. Mm. And it's been all of the things. It's been really funny at times. It's been therapeutic. It's really left such a positive taste in my mouth. I had forgotten about a lot of it. So to go back and relive some of these moments, I thought was really special. But to be able to clear up a lot of the stuff between us, because to your point, I definitely had some negative thoughts about it. And now I can really wrap this up nicely and I have nothing but positive thoughts. And yeah, I think so much time has passed that like even the dumb stuff, you know, we could laugh at it. It's like I just could not be more thankful for you bringing up this idea, for us doing this together, for all of our fans who are still so invested. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that this podcast did so well, you guys, that's insane. 18 years later, this podcast is what made me realize the magnitude of the show back in the day. I knew it was a big deal back in the day, but all these years later, to have people tune in and be as invested has been something that's been so eye-opening and really special and something I'm really proud of. And so thank you guys as the listeners, the viewers, and to you for having this idea.
Well, I think I got to thank the viewers here because, as I alluded to earlier, there was a lot of negative thoughts and an uncomfortable spot. I never watched the show, never wanted to. I knew I would at some point, but for a long time, I didn't want anything to do with it. And over the years, there have been people that have come up to me and talked about the show. And it's through you guys out there that have shared your experience of relating to the relationships on the show, what your friends went through, and seeing it made you, you know, feel a little more comfortable with maybe what was going on at that point in your life. Mm-hmm. And look, as a storyteller, as what I do now, to be able to connect to an audience that way, all these years, I truly underestimated that. And because it felt silly to me and this odd portrayal of my life, a lot of it being real, a lot of it, you know, being another version of it, made for TV, sensationalized, mm-hmm. to have you guys connect with it and share those thoughts with me has made me feel more comfortable with it. And that is what was the genesis of me saying, you know what? I feel like I should go back and watch this show. And it would be fun, one very odd social experiment leading to another. Because this is another very odd social experiment. Let's let two high school sweethearts, right, get together almost 20 years later and talk about the TV show that was filmed about their lives and their relationship. And it's there's no guidebook for that. The precedent is non-existent. And again, I felt like this could be a positive experience. And just because you and I have been friends, of course, over the years and know that we could always give each other a little shit. Like we have our little banter, our little back and forth, the way we toss the ball back and forth when we do this show. And I feel like if we put us through this experience, like it would be something that could be interesting and fun for you all to hear.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. Okay, so I have a question.
Shoot.
Would you do it all over again?
100%.
Me too. Yeah. And I wouldn't change a thing, not one thing.
Ah, really?
Well, listen, there's moments I'm not proud of, but no, ultimately, as cliche as it is, it's gotten me where I am today. And I really do think doing this show made me take a hard look in the mirror and figure out who the fuck I was. So I think it really helped me grow up and probably made me not be as big of an asshole as I probably easily could have been.
That's a great way of putting that. And I think for myself, I can easily say, looking at the show, of like, whoa, the guy who's like blatantly playing two girls all at once, like for the show, I'm like, I'm not that guy. However, you can see, and I realize this now watching the show, certain decisions that you're making that you think at the time, not mature enough. And you're like, well, I'm not.
Say it, because I love where this is going. Just fucking say it.
I wasn't, you know, I didn't think that I was that guy, but I was doing things at that time that were that guy, right?
Did we all hear that?
So,
yes.
I think understanding that and seeing that has been like, look, you need to take a good long look in the mirror at some things that you were doing. And that kind of came to me a little bit later because, as I said, I went more very insecure with the show after it came out. You're saying it gave you the opportunity to take a good long look in the mirror at yourself. Mm-hmm. That, I think, took me some time because I just wanted to shove the show aside. So this is not a thing. Nobody's watching this, all this. And so, there's my life lesson there that's I think is really important of like, you know, you can't just brush everything under the rug.
Gotta face it at some point. I know you're a dude.
Yeah. But like, hey, maybe break down some of these emotions. Talk to somebody about your feelings and be careful. Because look, one thing that is major for me and what I realized, and I think that was like what was happening in the show is like, I never wanted to let anybody down, you know? Mm. And so it's like a part of like the way I handled my relationship with Lauren.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to like let her down and hurt her. And I think ultimately a lot of decisions I made at that point in my life were hurting her, of course.
Yeah.
You know? And
probably hurt her more because instead of just saying what you needed to say, you're trying to please everybody, which then came off as lying or whatever.
Exactly.
And so it ended up hurting her more.
The harder thing to do, and this took me a little while in life to realize, and I'm so glad I eventually did somewhere in my 20s, the harder thing to do being the right thing to do. And it's initially after that, getting that over with, whether it's, you know, you could be dating somebody and it's like, you know what, this isn't working out, and instead of just like a lot of people will just ghost these days or running away, having the
I don't understand the ghosting. Yeah, we've all done it
because it's so much easier.
Yeah, I know.
Right? You're just like, oh fuck, but like that does unfortunately leave the other person in such a spot. And it draws it out so much longer than it needs to.
All it takes is a simple conversation.
Exactly.
I know.
And yeah, I mean, the harder thing to do is the better thing to do for all involved. And eventually,
I like that. That's a good line.
I did realize that.
The harder thing is the better thing to do.
We're all involved.
Ain't that the truth? Look at us all these years later.
Yep. So
wow. Well, maybe it made it so that you ended up being a really good guy instead of in your early 20s, like most guys playing 1,000 girls, not just 2. Maybe you were like a really good guy because of it.
I mean,
because you were so sensitive to not being that guy. Or yeah. Were you still kind of a player? I don't know.
No, I mean, I had a bunch of relationships throughout my 20s. I was, you know, a time when I was single and I was time when I was in relationships. It's been a mix. It was a mixed bag through my 20s. But I have always felt that the grass is greener on the relationship side. People are like, oh, the grass is greener if you're single or not.
Oh, I like
that. It's kind
that.
Of funny that we're going down this road. I do feel that it is greener on the relationship side. I think having that companionship, having somebody, having your partner, your teammate in life.
Yeah.
Is very important.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, not to say being single isn't fun.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. But of course.
But I agree with you. I very much would rather be in a relationship. Where I'm currently at in my life right now, I'm having fun being single because I was never single. I always had boyfriends. I think in my early 20s, there was like a 9-month period where I was single and that was it. So this is the first time in my life, like I'm going on dates and I'm having fun because I'm figuring out ultimately what I want. But I agree with you. I am a relationship girl.
I was to say, are you
tried and true?
Now it's fair because you're getting out of a long relationship. You were married,
but
you're going on dates to find teammate.
And I swear
right?
to God,
to find another partner that you want to be with long term. You're not going on dates just to maybe one or two out there. You're like, oh, this will be fun. This will be a good story. I'm going to go out with this guy.
Tell you what, I'm getting a lot of good stories, but no, I think every guy I go on even one date with, I'm taking away a little bit more knowledge of either what I do want or what I don't want. Mm-hmm. So yes, I'm getting a very concrete idea of what I do want, which is ultimately a good thing.
Go on with your bad self.
Damn it.
One day
I'll be in a relationship again. All right, you guys, one last time, let's talk about our good friends, HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you, of course, get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit.
That's right. And HelloFresh is your recipe for success. From foolproof instructions to high-quality proteins and veggies, HelloFresh brings out your inner chef with every tasty, easy-to-prepare meal.
This summer, spend less time meal planning and prepping with HelloFresh's pre-portioned ingredients that make it easy to get cooking quick.
That's right. No matter your lifestyle, you'll always find delicious recipes on the HelloFresh menu, like pescatarian and veggie. You can even swap proteins and sides to make a recipe just how you like it.
HelloFresh is more convenient than grocery shopping, but did you know that it's cheaper too? It's also 25% less expensive than takeout.
You guys, HelloFresh has been with us the whole way here on Back to the Beach, and I've definitely tried a lot of their meals. So I'm here to send you guys off with a final favorite and also a newbie. Highly recommend across the board to all. It is vegan. It is the vegan chickpea coconut curry. Who out there doesn't like curry? And if you don't, you need to figure it out. It's the vegan chickpea coconut curry with green beans and basmati rice and cilantro. Yes, maybe add a little hot sauce to that. Yes. And it's only like 700 calories. So check that out, you guys. That is a meal that I've recently found and I will carry on long after Back to the Beach.
Yum, you've had some good recipes. Okay, you guys, to get that recipe and many others, go to HelloFresh.com/beach16 and use code beach16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/beach16 and use code beach16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, it's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and you never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. You know, this is very important as we get further and further in life to acquire new tools to take care of ourselves because I got news for you youngins. It only gets more complicated. We thought our little lives in Laguna Beach were complicated.
just wait until you reach your 30s and 40s. And that is why BetterHelp is here to help you better yourself and offer that perspective. So guys, I highly recommend that you check out BetterHelp. Kristen, you're a big proponent of therapy.
Yeah, if you guys have listened to the podcast, then you've definitely heard me talk about how much I love therapy. I've been in and out of it pretty much my whole life. I just feel like having that unbiased opinion is so nice sometimes to just give you a different perspective on things. I just know that I've never walked out of therapy not feeling better than when I went. And also, I feel like I've just gotten so many lifelong tools that I can use in therapy as well.
Again, you guys, if you're thinking of starting therapy, do give BetterHelp a try. It can be a very positive force in your life, and it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just, you can fill out a brief questionnaire on their website to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you have the opportunity to switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. There's so much benefit coming from BetterHelp, guys. You got to check them out. Guys, visit betterhelp.com/beach10 today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/beach10. All right, well, let me ask you something. Like, is there something when you're rewatching it that you've noticed about yourself that you still do to this day?
Well, you know, I think, okay, because you really only got to see the real me in certain situations or like little glimpses of it. But those glimpses, the like playful and goofy side, the mm-hmm. like, that is all very much still me. Also, I do stand up for myself, but in a different way now where it's softened over the years, I would say. But I have boundaries. I know how to stand up for myself and walk away from situations or like I just don't put up with bullshit, which is how I've always been. Mm. So that it all still stands true. Mm. What about you?
I'm still a pat hugger. I've been told
Are
that.
Are you a pat hugger? Oh, I think we may have talked about this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should not do that.
Old slap on the back.
You should work on that.
Yep.
So, you still have like that goofy, playful side too.
Yeah.
That you got. I'm
always young at heart. Yeah, I want to, you know, be playful and to me, maturity can be too much. Maturity can be a little boring.
I agree.
You know, I still, I don't know, the youthful enthusiasm. I hope is there for a long time.
Yeah.
Because I think that is a key in life as our responsibilities get bigger. And you know, a lot more distractions in life, I think, to be able to take that moment to be more present because it's really kind of what it is be playful, have fun in moments and not be so stressed out about the rat race of life.
Yeah.
What's next? Where am I going? And of course, I'm sure you know this more than me because I don't have kids, but to just all the responsibilities that you know, entail life can distract us from those moments of being present and having fun with what you have in this moment.
Yeah.
I mean, you've talked about it. It's,
yeah.
And so... Yeah, I think it's, you know, you always got to find opportunities to play.
I love that. Yes, you should always be young at heart, for sure.
We wanted to thank you guys, you know, for everything that you've done and sharing your experience with us and being along for the journey here with us as we watch all these episodes and your feedback has been important to us. We've read it. We listened to the voicemails and we've enjoyed, you know, getting kind of a real-time feedback from you guys of what your thoughts are as you're hearing us talk about the show again.
Yeah.
So with that, I think we should pop into a couple voicemails for the folks.
Yeah, let's do it. I love this.
We'll start with Anna.
Hi, Kristen and Stephen.
Oh,
this is Anna from Virginia. Steve? I had to say that. Thanks for humoring me. I just wanted to call and first say thank you for doing this. I'm really enjoying every episode and all the nostalgia. So many of my high school memories involved the show, from sleepovers with girlfriends, binge watching the DVDs, and then the day after the show aired, it was all we'd talk about at the lunch table that next day, dissecting everything. Christ. I was a diehard Team Kristen, imagine. Don't worry.
Oh, okay, good.
But anyway, my question is, if you had to pick one real piece of drama that was not aired that you think MTV would have loved to have captured and used, what would it be? Thanks.
Oh, I like that question. I feel like they got everything.
I mean, I don't know. So I think the only thing that comes to mind is Liz Gately, when she was on, said that in our interviews, we were talking about some sort of like winter formal running.
Oh.
Remember that happened with you and Lauren at a bathroom or
okay,
something?
Okay, yeah. So, well, and we've talked about this. Really, the drama between the three of us happened before MTV came.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I guess they would have loved to get the meat of that drama.
Yeah, or probably have some sort of, which never really happens. Like a confrontation like you see with Jessica and Alex. Okay, yes. Cabo.
Like a Lauren and I showdown.
Yeah, but it says a lot.
It wouldn't have been pretty for her.
it says a lot that there wasn't one. You know, as far as like...
Yeah, again,
there was a moment in time. Yeah. And then there were plenty of other opportunities. But as you see in the end of second season, like you go over to her house. Granted, MTV doesn't have you say hi. Nor do you say goodbye.
Yeah. Even though I know I did.
You said hi. You might not have said goodbye.
Or a showdown between you and Hot Sam, my senior year. A new love triangle.
That would have never happened. You know what, Sam? Sam was a much better skimboarder. And you know what?
A like, skim off.
Yeah, yeah. He would have wiped the floor with me.
Oh my God. So, I say they got all the goods. Yeah.
But you know, to Anna, what you said about you know how it evokes a feeling for you of being back in at that time in your life with your friends. That is the big underestimated part for this whole experience for me, as far as people getting together and watching the show and being able to relate to it has been the very, very cool kind of caveat, I guess.
Yeah.
It's
I agree. Right. That it made such an impact on people's lives that I mean they were talking about at lunch the next day. I mean, that's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So, and the fact that she was Team Kristen, well, we know she's awesome.
There you go. Well, thank you, Anna. I appreciate that voicemail. Let's jump to Macy next.
Hey, Kristen. Hey, Steven. My name is Macy. I'm from South Florida. I have a question, but I have a quick little story that goes along with it. So for reference, I just turned 30 this month. And when I was 13 in 2006, I had a liver transplant. And it's pretty intense, but knock on wood, everything's doing great now and everything's been amazing. I was granted a make-a-wish and obviously I needed to go to Laguna Beach, but I had to meet Lauren and I did. It was amazing. I got to go to the house that's still in season 2 and have a barbecue with all of season 3 cast. Steven, you were supposed to be there. I asked
what
for you. I don't know if I even told you.
You should fly to her house right now.
It was amazing. She took me down. We got to go to the surf shop. Wow. We got to go to all the boutiques. It was truly a dream come true. So that's here we are at the end of January. We'll be 17 years post-transplant. So I thought this would be a good time to call in and ask what your most sentimental experience or something that was super special that you guys got to do because of the show, because this was very much a special moment that I am telling my kids about now. Mm. And Kristen, I love you. I love your style. Steven, I love you. Yeah, hopefully I get to hear you guys answer this.
Nice
and
style, but we love you.
Thanks. Bye.
Macy, wow. What's up with my style?
That's really special. What happened to you? What?
Do I have decent style?
No. No, I'm just kidding. No, you do. No, you do.
Now. We good?
Yep, there you go. Buttoned up. Very professional. Why were you not at this barbecue, Steven? Got busy.
So 2006. Well, first of all, this is amazing. Macy, thank you for sharing that. And congrats, you know, 17 years later, post-transplant. Yeah. What? I mean, fuck, I can't imagine going through that at 13.
No.
Like, we thought we had our troubles in Little Laguna Beach.
Shit.
Fuck. Yeah, throw a liver transplant into that. Definitely puts it into perspective. But that's awesome. Shout out, Lauren, for taking you around, having you over to her house for a barbecue. I mean, that's the freaking dream in 2006. Which, by the way, also, and I mean, today, I've been to a few barbecues at Lauren's for 4th of July in the last, you know, 10 years and still throws a killer party. So maybe we can meet there, Macy. But yeah, 2006, I don't remember this. And I'm sorry, I would have loved to be there. Yeah, I was probably, 2006, I started shooting One Tree Hill. So I was probably in North Carolina.
You were busy.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. Do you remember anything that you got to do that was really meaningful because of the show?
You know what? Lauren and I did a Don't Text and Drive campaign.
Oh, that's a good one. Wow.
For Allstate, I believe. And yeah, I remember doing that with her. And it was interesting because they brought a lot of kids out from around the country and had them from that were in high school and middle school. And there was a little conference. And Lauren and I were there. I don't remember if we spoke or I think we were like doing, you know, whatever. There was broken off into different groups and discussing this stuff. Oh, and then we went and we chalked up the sidewalks and trying to raise awareness for Don't Text and Drive.
That's good.
And yeah, I remember being, there was a lot of kids that was like, oh my God, these kids are so much smarter than I was at that age. There were a lot of very wise little kids that were hanging out with us. So that's that was cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, let's jump to Tina.
Hi there. My name's Tina, and I just rewatched the entire season one of Laguna Beach, and I have one question. Why does every single person's dad look just like Donny Osmond? I'm not sure if anyone else noticed that is... but I couldn't
Jim
help
Conrad. But see
Donny Osmond in every single person's father. That's all. Bye.
That's hilarious.
Don't
they
have an
all
answer.
Do kind of look similar, though. That's actually, I've never thought of that, but that's really funny.
Does your would your dad get that? Who he looks like? My dad would get Sly Stallone sometimes.
Okay, my dad would say Al Pacino.
The Italians there.
That's really funny.
All right. Well, thank you, Tina. Appreciate that. Letting you know
that insight.
All right, let's go to Teresa.
Hi, Stephen and Kristen. My name is Teresa, and I'm calling from California, NorCal.
SoCal.
And this may seem like a crazy question, but I think the two of you are kind of breakup goals.
Breakup goals.
Because
breakup
there's so goals. Many people who can't get along after they break up. So my question is, how are you able to keep your relationship going and be friendly towards each other? Thank you for the time and have a great day.
I like this question.
Very interesting question. Thank you, Teresa.
You know,
how are we able to keep our relationship and be friendly towards each other?
Well, I think every ex situation is different. I'm friendly with most of my exes, not all of them. I think for us in particular, because it was high school, because we had the show, like there were, and because it's been a long time.
It's
not
been a
like
long
we
time.
Were like best friends right away.
I think
away.
People forget that when we're doing this podcast. It's been almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Like we are different humans.
Yeah. It's not like it's like 2 years ago we dated. But I don't know. I think like I really look back on our relationship and it was very special. I think it was innocent and sweet in a way. You know, obviously it was a little toxic at times. But it was like
That's
a very...
high school.
Yeah. But it was like a very innocent, sweet love. And... so I have just fond memories of it. And I think because of the show, we'll always be bonded and connected in that way. But I don't know. High school sweethearts are something that's really special.
I don't know. I try to be a little more optimistic with relationships and people. And you look at certain chapters in your life. And as long as, you know, something catastrophic didn't happen or very traumatic to you, when relationships fizzle out and you move on with your life, I think that it can be looked at as more of a positive of like that time of like, oh, we grew up during that time and you know, a lot of things happened and there's, you know, you could look at some nice memories, maybe some travels or some things that you did. I mean, yeah, we were juniors and seniors in high school.
Well,
everything was
I was a sophomore.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we were babies.
So we're in high school. Yeah. It's a complete shit show. You throw in MTV cameras and I mean, it's such a unique time in your life and to have it documented and go through all of that and try to process it. Yeah, I think it added an extra layer of cementing friendship over all these years of like, wow, like look how far we've come.
Yeah.
You know, and we could say that now, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I've got great relationships with all my exes. You
all
know,
of them?
It's not like we talk all the time, but like, you know, if you see something or hear something or something, you know, comes up, like I'm a text away or and say hi and check in and I don't know, but
I think
I could do
great.
That.
That's great. I could be friends with all of my exes. I have two that can't be friends with me, which, okay, fine. But
well, shit.
Your problem, not mine.
Yeah. But look, everyone that was on the show, we do share a bond and a connection from this. And look, we haven't all talked about it very much. And as we've seen, which has been so cool with this podcast, is we've had an opportunity to, you know, break it down with everybody and get their feelings on it. And I know while at first it being very nerve-wracking for them coming on the show, I was speaking with all of them, to then after the fact, them being like, oh, that was actually really nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, obviously it would be most fun for us to sit down here, you and I, considering that we were in a relationship during that time and it was a big part of the show, and break it all down. So
yeah,
breakup goals, sure.
Breakup goals, we'll take it. I love it.
All right, thank you, Teresa, for that. Let's get one more. Let's do Rebecca.
Hi, Kristen, Stephen. My name is Rebecca. I'm from Las Vegas. I was curious if they were going to make Laguna Beach into a movie, which actor and actress would you want to play you? Thanks for doing the podcast, and I hope to hear this question on the air.
You look like you don't want to answer this.
No. I do. It's funny because
I
used to be asked this all the time on red carpets and I would always be like, I don't know, but...
Hold on. Let me see if I can guess.
Okay.
Wait, question. Actually, is it now?
Yeah, now. Well, if they were just going to make Laguna Beach into a movie. But
oh, okay. So they would, it would have to be... Well, I guess you could really do any...
You could do any actor. Yeah, it's like, who do you want to play you?
Okay. Oh, yours is going to be... Ooh. Oh, man.
You want to phone a friend?
Yours would be Kate Hudson.
That's a good guess, because I feel like I used to say that, but now I would say...
you feel like you used to say that?
Because I got asked that question all the time on the red carpet, and I'd be like, I don't know, I like Kate Hudson. But I would go with Margot Robbie.
Okay.
What about you?
Keanu Reeves.
Oh my God, that he kind of looks like you guys.
Does he?
I mean, I can see it a little
bit. Why,
that's a good
one. Keanu Reeves from Point Break. Or Bill and Ted.
Point Break. Oh, yeah. I'm going to watch that tonight.
I just want to put this out there. I fucking love Keanu Reeves.
I almost hit him in a car one time in LA, in Beverly Hills.
Bastard.
I was going to run.
Don't you?
It was a yellow light. Over. I didn't. But imagine that. I would have been like, oops, sorry.
He's extremely good looking. Is he?
Yeah.
Well, right on.
Oh, my God. That was Keanu Reeves, and he's hot.
There you go.
Yeah. This is a long time ago, but yeah.
Mine's not necessarily for the looks of it all. I just admire him as a person, as an actor.
Take it for the looks. Okay, that was fun. All right.
All right, you guys. Thank you all for all the voicemails and calling in. There's been some funny stuff, some stuff that we can't air. You interesting folks out there. But it's been fun to connect on that level. So
Yeah. Thank you for all of those, you guys. Wow. Okay, well... Holy shit. Should we wrap up this thing one last time?
Yeah. I mean, I guess we got to do our little grades.
All right. Overall. Overall, both seasons, like just as a whole?
Overall, everything. Okay. What are you rating you, Kristen Cavallari, as you watch yourself on Laguna Beach, the real fishbowl?
Yeah.
The real Orange County.
I mean, I guess for both seasons, I have to just give myself a C. You know, because this is an average, right? The final episode of season two, an A, which helps bring up this to a C. But I feel like there was a lot of D's.
You're like a D plus.
Literally. But yeah, I mean, because, you know, I think it's different now. Like the timing of it back in the day, I was like very shocking, right? Like I was like a very strong personality. I think now you watch it and you're like, I wasn't that bad considering what's on TV now. But I'm still gonna go like a steady C, maybe a C plus.
Solid.
Okay.
Well, wait, like at the last minute there, you finished strong.
Yeah.
Last episode was
what
great.
Brought up my average.
There you go.
Otherwise, we'd be hovering, you know, below average here.
Yeah, I think I was hovering below average for the majority of that.
Most episodes, I mean, you gave yourself an F or a D.
Yep. I think that was that was probably my favorite quote of Back to the Beach.
Oh, God.
Is just F.
Literally,
giving myself an F
every episode
and watching the fucking episodes, it would be fuck.
Oh my God,
it would just be sit there like laughing and be like, fuck, man, I was having to type my notes.
Oh, wow,
bro, got some explaining to do.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna go see. Okay. I got a C for myself, you know. I think
it's higher than I would have expected.
Well, we made it out,
yeah,
we made it out of
we did it,
barely. The streets of Laguna Beach,
yeah,
the real Orange County. We made it out of there and we grew up. So I look at that as a reflection as well. But yeah, I see, because there's a lot of stuff I'm not proud of in there, but I'll take it. You know what? It's something that we signed up for. And look, this also will take me into my overall series grade.
Okay.
As an audience member watching it, it's a fucking A. I mean, they knocked it out of the park. MTV, like we've said, we give them a hard time of like, oh, you know, the way MTV portrayed this. But we don't have our ill will towards them. You know,
no.
We are grateful for the opportunity. We're thankful. They had a job to do. They had to create interesting content series for a generation to watch, for people to tune into their channel. And they did something that was outside the box. And they went for it. And they got plenty of blowback themselves. Like the fact that this industry based on, you know, writers and written scripts and you know, reality, there's the big stigma about it. Like, oh, reality, like... Fuck that.
Right.
And MTV went for it. And they created something unique that connected with an audience. So they get an A. And honestly, congratulations to everybody who made the show, because I watch it back now and I'm like, fuck, they nailed it. They did a great job with what they got with these amateur performers. They cut it together. They edited it, the music. And we're talking to Liz Gately. They spent a lot of time editing, trying to make sure that every little frame was in the best moment possible.
Yeah.
And I understand that now as a storyteller now, and I'm in the middle of editing EDG, and it's just like you're putting together a story, and to see what they put together is pretty beautiful.
Oh, all right. So you're kind of swaying me. I actually said a B, but I agree with you. So I think at the time it was definitely an A. I guess like now when I watch it, and I guess I shouldn't let what's on TV now sway me, but I think, I don't know that it was actually like that juicy. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I actually feel like, yeah, there's a love triangle, but like, was there really? Like, kind of. Like, I don't really, whatever really happened. Like, it was a lot of looks and music. Yeah, yeah. But like, when you take all that away, like, there really wasn't that much there.
That's
but
funny.
It was still, I mean, still good. And because it's high school kids and whatnot. But I'm going to stay at a B.
Okay. So I had a B plus, and then I bumped it up to an A.
Okay.
I think that,
for the appreciation of the editing and the
execution
story
of the job.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
For an audience watching, looking for something to watch on TV, you know, based on the fact that we get a lot of people to this day, was it real or what?
Yeah.
Or wanting, you know, I think a lot of the intrigue in this podcast is breaking down what was real, what was not. And that resonated with the audience, you know? And so they achieved something there that is unique and, you know, first of its kind without us talking to camera. There's no interviews.
Yeah.
We're just there. And you're right. When you pull back some of that stuff, some of the looks, all that, what is the show? But that's the new genre of TV that they created. And to this day, I think a lot of reality TV, when I've, you know, seen some bits and pieces here and there, you see the like, oh, edited, like that's a clear cut. They're trying to pull stuff together, stuff that's not there. They're trying to form the story with what they have. And look, we signed up to do it.
No, totally. And I mean, it's gotten us where we are today. So it's all good. Okay, yeah. No, that all makes sense. What about one large do-over?
Very large do-over.
Large do-over.
Would be...
Don't do it. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do the show.
No. I'll go back and do it again. I mean, for me, it's Cabo.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, like...
So what? Don't drink so much. Don't even go to Cabo.
No. I'm going. It's not yelling at you the way I did on camera.
Wow. Okay. Wow. On camera.
You.
Okay. Yeah.
No. It's the way that I express my emotions. There's so much immaturity there.
Okay.
And I'm you know, yelling a profanity at you in front of people and you're trying to enjoy yourself. Yeah.
Trying to have some fun.
Like, that would be, that's a major do-over. Like, if I could take that back, what would I do? Well, first of all, I think that I would hopefully have a little bit better wherewithal of understanding, like, what was going on with our relationship, what was happening at that point in life, and knowing that, like, look, you need to not, like, have some sort of expectation in your mind of like what's supposed to happen. And if it doesn't go your way, doesn't mean that it's anybody else's fault. You know, it's like maybe you need to assess where your expectations are coming from. But, you know, projecting that all onto you, or not projecting it, but throwing all of that energy, the negativity onto you was very poor. And
thank you.
Of course, we wish we could do that.
Yeah. Okay. So, wow. Just okay. Like, thanks.
You know, look, the tequila still would have flown.
Yeah.
Like, I would be having a great time down in Cabo, but maybe we should have just kept our distance, you know?
Should be at different bars.
Different bars.
Go to different bars.
Plenty of great spots.
Go
down
back
in
to
Cabo.
Squid Row.
Yeah, or Giggling Marlin. You know what I should have done at the Giggling Marlin? I don't know if they still do this. You could hang upside down like a Marlin.
That's what you should have been.
That's
doing.
Where my ass should have been. Or you should have just dragged me over there, like, you know what, Steven?
Stay. Day.
Just tie up my ankles and then crank it.
I'm gonna
up.
Go back over here to dancing
Leave
on the
it
bar.
Tied or not, and
you stay.
You're out of here.
Okay, I like that and I appreciate it. Mine would be just in a general sense, like every single episode, elaborate, explain my thought process, and just know that it's okay to be vulnerable, because I felt like I was always so quick to just, like, I would never explain anything. And I think that's why I came off so bitchy. And so just an overall do-over would be like, just, I don't know, tell us why you're feeling the way you're feeling or thinking what you're thinking instead of just it coming off so harsh.
There's a lot that you're still trying to figure out, though, in, in doing that. Because like you were saying before, like that was your way of protecting yourself, right?
Totally.
Was to just lash out and poke fun.
Just have a wall up at all times. Like, I was deathly afraid of being vulnerable. I've had to learn that over the years, how to be vulnerable. But
sure. You would take the piss out of everything and out of everybody and be quick to do that, so that built, you know, supposedly a tough exterior.
But, yeah, for sure. OK, Okay. Yeah. What about a favorite quote?
Favorite quote? An F?
Yeah, from the podcast.
Just
yeah.
giving myself an F, I guess. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think... What about you? I don't know.
Well, I don't know that I have one like from the podcast, but I have two that really stand out in my mind that have from day one. And it is Stephen and Dunzo. Like those two, they're going to be on my tombstone.
You need those tattooed. 100%.
I'm going to get Stephen tattooed for sure.
You need animals. You need a bunny, something, some sort of a pet named Dunzo.
Oh my God. Dunzo.
And then, you can get like a hamster or something and name it.
I'm getting a hamster this weekend, so.
Or get two hamsters. One named Steve.
Dunzo and, Steve and Vin.
The other one, Vin.
Stephen. Still got it. All right. Well, holy shit.
That's about that, huh?
Yeah, that's that. Where do we go from here? I'm lost. I don't know now where to go. Okay, this one's for all of my parents out there. Let's talk diapers. I'm really excited to introduce you guys to Coterie if you are not already familiar with them. I'm very happy to say I've been out of the diaper game for many years and I do not miss those days. However, I've used every diaper under the sun and I know a thing or two about a good one. And so I'm loving Coterie. They sent me some and while I'm not going to be using them, I will be gifting them to a friend because I love them. They are so soft and durable and they blow other diapers out of the water as far as I'm concerned. I remember those sleepless nights when you're getting up constantly to change your baby's diaper. I know you parents do too if you have little ones. And if you have a little one, I can almost guarantee that it's probably been a while since you've had a full night's sleep without interruptions. Well, Coterie diapers are designed for better sleep and have given parents all over the place at least an extra 1 to 3 hours of sleep per night. And you know those 1 to 3 hours are huge. Parenting is stressful enough, and you're supposed to somehow do it all effortlessly. It's the small hacks that are the biggest game changers. And for most parents, that means a better diaper. That's why people everywhere are using Coterie. Coterie products are fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and made with responsibly sourced plant-based materials, all while feeling as soft as cashmere on your little baby's bottom. They've also been awarded Best Diaper by Parents.com and Babylist. Okay, not too shabby. All right, you guys, it's time you use a better diaper. And right now, Coterie is partnering with this podcast to offer you 20% off your first order plus free shipping at Coterie.com, promo code BEACH. That's Coterie, spelled Coterie.com. Promo code BEACH for 20% off and free shipping. Coterie.com, promo code BEACH. Okay, guys, let's talk about Stitch Fix. Stitch Fix has a range of wear now styles in season-ready colors, trends, and patterns to help refresh your wardrobe. With Stitch Fix, you can get a personal stylist who will curate the perfect pieces for your unique style and fit. Get started now and bring some new life to your wardrobe this season. Stitch Fix is the best way to discover new styles and brands just for you. Think of Stitch Fix as your style partner. Your stylist will learn about your tastes and collaborate with you on looks you'll love. All you have to do is answer a few questions about where you typically like to shop, what you like to wear, and your price range. With your choices in mind and a wide range of styles available, anything from extra small to 3XL, they'll find your perfect fit. They've got you covered with over 1,000 brands and styles. Try your pieces at home before you buy. Just keep what you love and send back the rest. Plus, shipping, returns, and exchanges are always free. There's no subscription required. Simply order a refresh as needed or set it and forget it with regular seasonal fixes. You're in control. You guys, I have been browsing their website and I have to say it's very easy to use. Their style quiz was a breeze. I'm actually getting some nice little pointers. And right now I'm all about dresses because I just want easy and comfortable this summer. And I was looking at their dresses and there's some cute stuff, not gonna lie. Their website is just very user-friendly. So definitely check it out. So you guys, try Stitch Fix today at stitchfix.com/beach and you'll get 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. That's stitchfix.com/beach for 25% off today. stitchfix.com/beach. I feel like, okay, I'm sure the audience wants to know when we will see or speak to each other again. Yeah?
Oh, sure. Yes. Are we going to do season 3 of Laguna Beach?
No. No, we're not. We're not.
Guys, this is always going to have an expiration date for us. And this was great as it was. It's perfect. We did our episodes.
Yeah.
Watched it. Let's move on.
Yeah. We've stayed in touch over the years. We will continue to stay in touch. And who knows what's in the future, you know? Maybe we'll do something else together. You never know.
Never know.
You never know.
Yeah. Just everyone on the show, everyone's always going to be in touch.
And especially now that, you know, we've all reconnected on this podcast and also the Uncommon James video. I think we've reformed this connection and we all want to stay in touch, I think, more than we have. So.
All right. This is a note. We'll shout out our producer, by the way. Thank you, Rosie Atkinson, who has taken us through all of this.
Couldn't have done it without her.
Beautiful smile over there. Yeah, she has been the trio here. Yes, the three of us have made this podcast go. Yeah. And she has kept us in line, kept us on time.
It's true.
And listened to us just, you know, rant about our Laguna Beach day. Yeah. So shout out Rosie. Thank you for everything. And she had a nice little comment she wanted to put in here. Question. Or actually, a lot of these questions are from Rosie.
Yeah, so. Most of them.
She says, what is something about this podcast that reminded you of each other? You know, I feel like you're unapologetically you.
Yeah.
Like kind of no bullshit.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked about this, how you process the show and moving forward. And you took on the role. And you're like, I get this. I know what this is. And I feel like that you're brave enough to do that and then go forth with it. And it's a lot of vulnerability of yourself, you know, to go on to do other reality shows. But to take on that part, yeah, it takes someone very strong and stronger than I. And so I give you a lot of credit for that. And in doing this, I see that, reminded of that, of you. Look, I'm no bullshit. I'm going to tell you how it is.
Yeah.
This is what I'm feeling.
Yeah, so. That is very much still me. Well, thank you. Okay, so this podcast really reminded me, and I've kind of said it earlier, but of pure sweet love. Like, I really think we had this very, there was no guard up or no trying to get something from the other person. It was just sweet. It was a very innocent, sweet love. Now that I'm dating, it's this is what I actually want to recreate or find again is that innocence and that pureness. Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder as an adult, obviously. But so that's you're the ultimate, the sweetest guy in the world. You really are.
Oh,
and
boy.
So that's what I'm taking away. Steven 2.0, where are you?
Where
the fuck are you?
we try to be kind. You know, I feel like. Yeah.
You gave yourself a bad rap from the show, but ultimately you are. You're the sweetest. And I mean, you can see it on the show.
Look, it's a lot harder to be an asshole. I feel like it takes a lot more energy. And at the end of the day, it's not going to get you too far in life. I feel like because, you know, the chickens always come back to roost. Because, you know, you got a couple chickens out there.
I know all about that.
So, but anyways, that's very sweet of you to say that. Yeah. You know, I think, look, doing the show has been an amazing experience. It really exceeded everything.
Yeah.
I've said this before. Doing it with you was, you know, the first and maybe probably the only way I could see this show happening, you know? And that's, again, with what I mentioned about how you are unapologetically, you are going to kind of go no bullshit. And the bravery in that sense and being that person, I think, coming in to do this show and look back on all of it, go through 40 fucking episodes. Or
is that how many it was?
20 something, 30 episodes of Laguna Beach, the real Orange County.
Yeah.
And break that down. Like, I knew you'd be able to step up and do that and do what we've done, which is give each other shit.
Yeah.
And it's what we talked about when we first started talking about this.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad we did it because we almost didn't do it.
I know.
Said no at first.
I said no. I know. But thank God you kept pushing me. Not pushing me, but
I didn't really. The funny thing was, I remember we kind of talked about it. And then there was a moment. It's right. COVID had canceled this press tour for Everyone Is Doing Great for season 1 in Australia. And so I had all of a sudden these 2 months opened up.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck am I going to do? And one day I was like, you know what? Let's just do this podcast.
Yeah.
And so I hit you up about it. And you're like, I don't know. And then honestly, I called you not too long after you said, I don't know about it. I don't want to do a podcast. I called you that afternoon. And I honestly was just calling to say hi, like, what's up? How have you been?
Yeah.
And we immediately started talking about that. Like, I didn't call you to convince you of, like, hey, take a look.
Funny.
But we started talking about it, and you kind of said very quickly, you're like, well, I don't know. Like, I could be convinced. And I was like, oh, shit. All right, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And then we went from there and we continued to talk about it. And then here we are.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm glad we did it. I mean,
It's truly a highlight of my career. This has been amazing. I've loved every second.
There was a curtain over everything for me. I mentioned in the beginning of this, and, you know, doing this podcast has lifted that. Mm-hmm. And what I found underneath that was a lot of positive memories and really beautiful moments with everyone in the cast and what we went through at that time in our life. And it's nice to have that now when I think about the show and not everything else.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Look, I want to say thank you to the audience, all of you guys for listening, to everybody who came on and shared their experience, to Liz Gately, who created the show, who actually came on because a lot of producers did not come on. And Liz.
Liz showed
the
up.
The guts to come on and talk about the show. Yeah. And I give her a lot of credit about that. And for you, thank you. Thank you for coming here and you know, being you and sharing, you know, what everyone out there who's, you know, continues to be a fan of you to this day, what you do, you know, your personality is great. And it's so fun for this. And it's been so fun to do it with you. So
thank you. Aw, you're going to make me cry. God, thank you. This has been so great. I'm so sad it's over. I mean, I really am. It flew by. And yeah, you guys, the audience, everyone who listened, thank you guys so much. This has been so special to see the response this podcast has had. And so thank you guys for tuning in every week.
You know what, guys? Just imagine one more tequila shot.
Yeah, cheers.
We're at a bonfire, you know, and the camera's pulling away and saying goodbye down there in Laguna Beach. That's a wrap on that. And again, thank you guys. Maybe we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you guys so much. Thanks for listening to Back to the Beach with me, Kristen Cavallari, and the best ex-boyfriend ever, Stephen Colletti.
We are so stoked to bring you along on this journey back through Laguna Beach with us.
You can find us on Instagram at Dear Media Studio, hashtag BTTBpod, at Kristen Cavallari, and at Stephen Colletti.
Got any questions about the show? Give us a call on our Back to the Beach hotline, 1-844-LAGUNA-0.
And if you like our show, please make sure you follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to this so you don't miss an episode. And don't forget to leave us a rating and a review.
Back to the Beach is a Dear Media production hosted by Kristen Cavallari and Stephen Colletti.
Our show is produced by Rosalie Atkinson.
Post-production by Amanda Vandekar, Michelle Harrison, and Taylor O'Connor.
Music supervision by Jonathan Lane.
Our theme song is Come Clean, written by John Shanks and Cara Diaguardi.
Cover composed by Steve Shebby.
And our executive producers are Jocelyn Falk, Paige Port, and Michael Bostick.